Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and it's my honor to be studying the second half of Sefer Shmot with you. And we are now in the middle of Parashat Ki Tisa, in the middle of the story of the Egel, which is really part of a larger story, the larger narrative of Matan Torah, and which itself is part of the larger story, the even grander story of the stand at Har Sinai. Here we are in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, subsequent to Moshe's successful plea with Hashem, which is built on three prongs. The Hashem not destroy the nation. Moshe then comes down, breaks the Luchot, sprinkles the pieces into the water, makes everybody drink it, and then stands with Aaron, and then the Bnei Levi join him in massacring the people who were directly involved in the Egel, evidently, or who were somehow marked. And now Hashem speaks to Moshe. Now remember, the word Ale, arise, is a word that's been used numerous times in this narrative cycle of Matan Torah, of Har Sinai. And it always indicates that Moshe is supposed to arise and go up topographically, altitudinally, if you will, to go up to the mountain. Here it's used in a different sense. For the Baruch Adonai Moshe, Alech Alei Mizeh. So it's not Alei El, to go up to, but it's to arise from. And here it doesn't mean to go up in altitude, but rather to get up out of the situation. Ata me'am, asher ha'elita me'eretz Yitzrayim, you and the nation that you took out of Mitzrayim. And this goes back to the way that Hashem first gave Moshe the news about the Egel. The nation that you took out of Mitzrayim has sinned. And Moshe's comeback is, as part of his three-pronged prayer, you took them out of Mitzrayim. The nation that you took out, don't destroy. Hashem's comeback is the nation you took out of Mitzrayim. And this reflects the ambiguity that courses through the entire Exodus narrative of who is the real Redeemer here. And part of that is reflected in the important statement in our Haggadah, Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo ashalech, ani hu v'ani Hashem v'lo acher, that is only Hashem who took us out. But reading Sefer Shmot, Moshe is prominent in that story. And then Hashem says, get up from the situation. El ha'aretz shenishbati l'Avraham, Yitzchak l'Yaakov l'mor, l'zaracha etnena. Bring them to the land that I swore, so Hashem is acceding to that, I made the oath, that I'm going to give this land to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Notice that in Moshe's plea, he said, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yisrael. We'll comment on that in a moment. And there Hashem responds, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, saying, l'zaracha etnena, that I will promise to give it to your children. Now that was an argument, one of the three arguments that Moshe presented. The first argument was, you took them out of Mitzrayim. You took them out with great power. That great power can be demonstrated both in might, but also in restraint. The second thing is the chilul Hashem involved, which is that the Mitzrayim are going to say, hey, you took them out, and you're going to destroy them in the bar. Your name is going to be besmirched. And the third, of course, is the brit that you made with Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael. Now notice, in Moshe's tefillah, he refers to Yaakov as Yisrael. What's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael? It's the same person. Yisrael is the name given to Yaakov when he stands up, faces the adversary, and at least battles him to a draw, if not better. Yaakov is the name of ambush. Yaakov is the name of trickery. Yaakov is the name of deceit and cunning. And indeed, that's how Esav plays with it. Hachi karashmo Yaakov, akveni zef amayim, after he finds out that the bracha has been stolen. When Moshe approached Hashem, he said, you made a brit with Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael avadecha, meaning you made a brit with the avot as they stand tall and are ready to conquer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, I made the brit with Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, meaning I made the brit even with Am Yisrael when they're not at their highest position. And that brit I'm going to keep. So this is a very good promise, very good news. News now is not as great. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, v'gerashti et haknani ha'imori v'achiti v'apizi v'achivi v'ayivusi. I will send a malach in front of you. Now that we already heard that in Mishpatim, so this doesn't seem to be bad news. Except that here, the malach is going to be the one going, and we'll find out that Hashem is going to remove his presence from the people. At least that's the threat here. And the reason is given, as opposed to in Mishpatim, when he says, I'm sending a malach, but that doesn't remove Hashem from the picture. Here the Malach seems to be really in place of. And I will send out these six nations from the land, El Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, to take you to the land flowing of milk and honey. We've spoken about that phrase before. Ki lo ele v'kir b'cha. Here we go. Ki am k'she'oref ata penachelcha badarech. Lo ele v'kir b'cha. And there's that verb again, alo, which again here does not mean to go, to arise. But I will not make my presence felt in your midst. Why? Ki am k'she'oref ata. You are a stubborn nation, a stiff-necked nation, meaning this nation cannot remove itself from its ways. And what will happen? Pen achelcha badarech. Otherwise, I'm going to destroy you on the way. Meaning, if I'm among you, the sin, which is inevitably going to happen, my automatic reaction is going to be to destroy you. So I'm going to remove myself from the position. I'll send a malach, and he'll fight the wars. Now, how do the people react to this news? So on the one hand, they're spared, although maybe they never knew that they were under that threat. But they do hear that Hashem is, to some extent, turning his back on them. They hear this bad thing, it's bad news, and they mourn. And we have an odd phrase here. They did not put their jewelry on. Now jewelry would of course be a sign of mourning for them, because it was the jewelry that they gave up, or they gave up some of it in order to make the egel. So jewelry would be the last thing you'd want to wear. So they don't put the jewelry on. This is a sign of mourning. Now, Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Emor Bnei Yisrael, Atem Am K'shei Oref. Go tell them they're an Am K'shei Oref. Now, by the way, telling an Am that you're an Am K'shei Oref has dubious results, because somebody who's K'shei Oref is usually not receptive to that news. That's what being K'shei Oref is. But now, right now, they're showing their receptivity by the fact that they are humbling themselves. That reminds us of Achav in Malachim Aleph Chaf Aleph, after Eliyahu says what he does. Take a look at that story there. Tell the people this, that I will come among you for one moment and I'll destroy you. So tell them, my removing myself from them, yes, they should be sad, but they should be sad, but realize that I'm doing them a great kindness, I'm saving them. So they should be sad because they don't merit my being with them, but they should be happy or relieved because they're being spared as a result. Now this is strange, because he says, now take your jewelry off of you, and then I'll know what to do with you. Veida here probably means, and I will then let you know what I'm going to do with you. So is he talking to Moshe and saying, Moshe, you should join them in this mourning, because your leadership is only meaningful if you have the following, and the fact that you and I have this intimate relationship is of no value because I don't have it with them? Or is he saying, Horeide Dicham Yalacha is part of what you should tell them? Which may mean that they didn't take their jewelry off right away, and the psukim are not in sequence, and it's explaining why they took it off. Or it means that there are several different layers of adi, of jewels. And maybe some ones that were used, the type that were used for the egel, they took off, and now he's saying, take off all of your jewelry, don't adorn yourselves, you should be mourning. In any case, fight not stuvrei. So they stripped themselves of their adi, of their jewels, mehar chorev. And that phrase mehar chorev is a little bit odd, which leads to the famous midrash that they were wearing crowns. They'd gotten crowns at har chorev when they said now seven shema, and then they took those off. In the meantime, Moshe yikach et ha'ohel. Now, what tent is this? Remember, there's no mishkan yet. Mishkan has been commanded or not commanded, machloket rishonim, what order that happened in, but it certainly has not been constructed yet. So what tent is this? This is Moshe's tent, his own personal tent, which is in the middle of the people. Yikach et ha'ohel v'natalo michutz l'machaneh. He moves it out of the camp. Moshe is separating himself from the camp, which if you think about it, is doubling back on the original problem of Moshe's disappearance threatening the people's sense of any leadership, as if God is gone. And now what's happened? When God has removed himself from the people, Moshe does the same. He separates from the people. Thus confirming, if you will, for them, that they're really kind of, there's a team there, and that Moshe's part of that team, not part of our team, as it were. What did he call that tent? He called it Ohel Moed, the place for meeting. which if you think softens the blow. I'm taking it out, but if anybody wants to come and meet, they can meet with me. Perhaps. Let's find out. Vayakom vakesh Adonai yetzei olam moed asher michutz lamachaneh. And notice how much the text mixes the two together. Anybody who's seeking out God, seeking out God's instruction, an oracle, will go to the olam moed, which is outside of the camp. So on the one hand, seeking God means now not going to the middle of the camp, but going outside of the camp. Seeking God means now going to Moshe's tent, which is outside of the camp. And now let's hear more details. Vayaketzet Moshe el ha'ohel, yakumu kol ha'am, v'nitzvu esh petach ish petach ha'olo, v'bitu achrei Moshe ad bo ha'ohela. And now we find out that this may be Moshe's tent, but not Moshe's tent where he lives. This is a special tent where Moshe meets with Hashem, and he put it outside of the camp, signifying that Hashem is out of the camp. And now our realization of Moshe's role as being part of our team, of Am Yisrael, is strengthened. What happens? When Moshe leaves to the Ohel, meaning he leaves the camp where he is, to go out to the Ohel, because he's going to seek God, Yakum Kol Ha'am, they all stand up, V'nitzvu Ish Petach Ha'olo, they stand at attention. And this is sort of part of the tshuva, of everybody realizing this is Moshe, who we should have trusted, who is going now to encounter Hashem, who only he can see and we can't see, and making the images is wrong. V'bitu acharei Moshe ad bo ha'ola. They would look at Moshe until he went into the camp, into the tent. V'haya kivo Moshe ha'ola, when he would come into the tent, yirei amud ha'anan v'amai petach ha'ol. The cloud would come down and cover the front of the ha'ol v'diberi Moshe. And then Hashem would speak to Moshe inside. And so now what the people are seeing is that what they had seen on top of Har Sinai, which had scared them and made them think Moshe was gone, is now happening right here. And Moshe goes into the tent, the cloud covers it, Moshe's inside, and then Moshe later comes out and tells them what Hashem said, or not, if it's a private communication. So everybody, because they're watching, they see the Amud Ha'anan standing in front of the Ohel, so they all stand up and they bow down. So remember, they were standing, Nitzvu. Now they prostrate themselves when they see the cloud from where they're standing in front of the tent, in front of their own tent. V'diber Adonai Moshe panim apanim. And how would Hashem speak to Moshe inside this cloud? Face to face. Kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu. Just like a man speaks with his fellow. In the next podcast, we're going to hear something which seems to deflate this a little bit. But in this position, it says a man speaks to his friend. Face to face, all protected by the cloud, all in that intimacy, and we may now be getting a glimpse into what was happening on top of the mountain, inside the cloud. Perhaps Hashem is speaking to him face to face, whatever that may mean. V'shav el ha'machaneh. And then afterwards, Moshe would come back to the camp, because again, he's not living in the tent. The tent is the place of his meeting with Hashem, or El Moed. So people would come there, and that's how they would get instruction from Hashem, presumably by asking Moshe. And Moshe himself would go there in order to have communion with God. In the meantime, Yoshua stayed in the Ohel. And who is Yoshua? He is Misharto. Now, we've already met Yoshua twice. Once, of course, the first time in Melchemet Amalek. And the second time, when Moshe ascends the mountain, Yoshua goes partway up, and Yoshua is the one who tells him. When he hears the sounds, he thinks it's sounds of war, and Moshe corrects him. Here we find out that Yoshua, as a Misharet, never leaves the Ohel. So Yoshua stays inside the Ohel. We have to presume that when Moshe goes inside and the cloud covers it, then Yoshua steps out. And that's the private time for Moshe with Hashem. As we find out, nobody ever had that level of communication or nevuah with Hashem as panim al panim that we read about here. We'll pick up in the next podcast as we hear Moshe's response to Hashem's creating a new status quo of the malach going and Hashem not going with them. We'll hear that in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.